Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
So I'll give you the Prowler report.
Yes.
A kitty cat Prowler with cancer. He got a good report yesterday.
Yay.
His blood work came back good. We started this new rescue drug treatment for him for his abdominal cancer. And he put on almost 3/4 of a pound last couple weeks.
And Deborah showed me the picture, and he is delicious.
He's stunning.
He's so cute.
Such a sweetie. So more rooting for Prowler. So we've been at this now. It's been 15 or 16 months since
diagnosis.
I know.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Hard to believe, right? It's been a challenge, but he's worth it.
But he is.
Oh, my
goodness.
He's
doing okay. I mean, like, he's a champ.
You have to see this, our kitchen, though. Literally, there's a whole shelf dedicated to his various types of
food.
Yeah, so he'll start with a little Beyond is one brand he likes. No sponsorship here for them. He likes Fancy Feast.
Uh-huh.
Different flavors, right? And then he likes fresh cut turkey.
Oh my God.
We make him fresh tilapia.
Shut up.
Every day. And he literally, if he doesn't get the flavor he's looking for at that moment, he just stands and stares and meows until you pick that bowl up and put something else. And when you finally got it right, he just chows down.
I love this cat. He knows how to play, you guys.
Yeah, he does.
My God, it's so cute.
But how do you say no?
My God, I feel like he gets fed better than I do. Like,
maybe.
I'm not kidding.
Yes.
Oh my God, so good.
Yeah. So, and then the upcoming weekend, I'm going to a boot camp in Dallas.
What, like legitimate boot camp?
No.
Like
a real estate investing.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
New little side hobby.
That's
here.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, sort of learning a lot about.
Yeah.
A lot about it. So.
Oh, that's gonna be great.
It'll be exhausting. Yeah. You'll have to peel me off the table next week.
You have most energy. Like, you're a night person, so you'll be fine. I feel
not
like
anymore.
Really?
Really not. No. No. I'm. Like 11 o'clock. That's like pushing it.
Yeah.
We get up so early. Prowler sometimes gets up at 1:30 or 3:30 or 5:30. It's like having an infant.
I get it. I understand.
Yes, you do.
No,
how about
because
you?
It was the same. Moose wakes me up at night now, too. You can like hear him. No, things are really good. Did some kid stuff, some Chuck E. Cheese. This is so funny. Remy was invited to this like younger kids party because it was really for London. And he goes, Mom, you know, Chuck E. Cheese really isn't my jam, but I'll go. And I was like,
my jam.
And I was like, how did you know that expression? Like, he said it so like, he's like, oh, yeah, I know that expression. Like, it was just so funny. So,
and London has a birthday right around the corner.
London's birthday's coming up.
Are you doing a special thing?
Oh, please.
Of course.
The guy every day asks for something else. I swear to God, like, we see a commercial. He's like, I want that. We're going to go to Great Wolf Lodge again.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be super fun. And yeah, he'll bring one of his friends. I mean, it's his birthday every day, pretty much in our house, as you know.
Yes.
So, you know, and then we did family photos in, it was really cool. It was at Union Station downtown.
Nice.
So that was really cool. So
for your
we did
holiday
that,
car?
Yeah. So we did that yesterday and it actually went okay. I mean, a half hour before it happened, it was a different story, but during it looks okay. So
there's going to be a day, you know, you're going to have to bribe your children to
please
come with you already.
Oh, well, this happened last year. I think we got them like a super soaker each. It was like ridiculous. Yeah. So we're one step ahead, sadly. But yeah, but that's what's going on here.
Nice. All right.
So last week we had a replay of the show with Maddox because our guest last minute had something to do.
Yep.
So we had to improvise. So hopefully, you know, if you tuned into that, it's one of my favorite shows and one of the funniest people. So if you missed that, you can listen to our replay of the replay.
Okay. Today we have Bill Gladstone. Bill is the author of Dr. and Master Shaw, Miracle Soul Healer, the best-selling novels, The 12 and The Power of 12, co-author with Jack Canfield of The Golden Motorcycle Gang. I love that. I want to hear about that. As well as producer of the film Tapping the Source and co-author of the book Tapping the Source, released in paperback as The Complete Master Key System. He's also the host for the public television series Inside Wellness and the series Soul Healing Miracles with Dr. and Master Shaw. He represents individual authors such as spiritual teachers Eckhart Tolle, Dr. Barbara DeAngelis, and Neil Donald Walsh. and he is here representing the Vibe app. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you guys doing today? You sound great.
We're good. How about yourself?
Excellent.
I have an off-track question before we get into the Vibe. So when you say that you are represent individual authors, do you do like their media and stuff? Or
no, I'm a literary agent. I represent the rights to their books. Much more interesting to me. I'm not, you know, getting PR for them. I'm getting them book deals. So I represented, you know, New Earth for Eckhart Tolle. I represent most of Neil Donald Walsh's titles since Conversations with God. I've actually represented over 5,000 books, including most of the Four Dummies books.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Boy, oh, boy.
Yeah.
We need to
I have people that help.
But still, that's incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so we want to talk about the Vibe app. So for the listeners who are out there, can you just give us kind of a brief summary of what
this is?
Sure,
yeah. The Vibe came to me through my extensive network of clients and the founders, you know, presented me with the concept, and I thought it was great. Basically, it's you sign up, and your phone gets a brief message every morning at the same time, and you can program it so it comes throughout the day. And it's an upbeat message, and there's a great variety. There's other things out there that are just from one author, but what appealed to me is I've brought several of my authors, including Barbara DeAngelis and Neil Donald Walsh and some new up-and-coming authors into the Vibe, and so they're participating, and so you're going to get a selection. Now, if you happen to, you know, really resonate with one particular author, some of these authors will have their own channel within the Vibe channel. So it's just a very upbeat, positive energy that you can program into your life so that every day something positive, you're getting a good vibe every single day.
And what kind of message, like an audio message, verbal message?
It can be audio. It's also text, you know, whichever you mode is best for you, or both. And, you know, it's only $2.99 a month, so it's very inexpensive. And the kinds of messages really depend upon the author. I mean, I've contributed some myself, and it depends what's going on. But, you know, I try to always help people get focused and centered. There's always something to be positive about. And too often, you know, in our daily lives, the first thing you're greeted by is the newest disaster. You know, the news lives on, you know, I watch the news. I sometimes wonder why, but it's almost like a formula. Every news show is, oh, here's the traffic accident. Here's the crime. Oh, now we have a little weather. Now we have a little sports. Oh, now we have a political mess, you know,
right.
And so on and so on. And it's not really very uplifting. And I think that people need something uplifting. And just to remember that, you know, life is a miracle. And every day we're here is a wonder, and with unlimited potential for that day. So those are the kinds of messages that, you know, I wrote about and relate it to, you know, everyday events. I mean, not every day is a high, but, you know, even, you know, recently my younger brother passed away, and that was a very sad event for me. But even within that, dealing with it in a positive way, because I'm sure, you know, many people are losing loved ones every day, and, you know, they may think, oh, I don't want to hear some positive energy. So it's not just about the highs of life, it's about all of life.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear about your brother. That must be very sad for you.
Yeah, it's particularly, you don't expect a younger brother to die, right. You know. Older, you know, he was old.
Right.
He wasn't so old.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
But, you know, there's always something positive to focus on, and, you know, that's what the Good Vibe is all about, you know, bringing awareness to positive aspects of life.
If it's okay with you, so I downloaded it, and I would love to read Trust in Your Own Vision, which came up today, if that's okay for our listeners.
Okay.
So this is what came up today. As we strive to listen to the wisdom of our own heart, we must remind ourselves that it is our wisdom, our vision, our awakenings, and no one else's that will take us to our new doorways. We can be inspired by mentors, teachers, pastors, priests, therapists, authors, friends, and well-meaning loved ones. Ultimately, for our journey to be authentic, sorry, I need to press the show more.
The more
yeah, exactly. Ultimately, for our journey to be authentic, we must decipher our own path. You are the only one who will be given the clarity to see your new doorways. One of my favorite Chinese proverbs reminds us, the person who says it cannot be done should not interrupt the person doing it. If someone cannot see what you see, they will not understand why you are doing what you are doing. Do not let this hold you back. You have been given your vision for a reason. You must follow it.
I love it.
And that was Barbara DeAngelis. That was beautiful.
Barbara and I are close friends, and you know, we just love, you know, Barbara just hits the nail on the head every time. So yeah, so that was a wonderful selection, and that captures the essence of what the different entries are. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of, you know, my top authors are participating. In some cases, you know, people are super busy, and you know, they're actually using passages from books that they've already written. Mm-hmm. In most cases, though, people are writing original material, and that's about the length. Mm-hmm. The ones that I wrote were actually a little bit shorter. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, I don't know how long it took to read that, but I don't think it was more than a minute. So right. You know, it's not a big time suck, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's short, and that's good because everybody is busy, and you know, and then they have to get on with their day. At the same time, you know, if you have more time, you know, passages like that you could easily read two or three times and sure. Really, you know, soak in the wisdom. And you know, it's uplifting on many different levels. Just energetically, when you listen to something like that, you know, I haven't gone into all the neurophysiology of it, but it actually mm-hmm. does make changes in your physiology.
Wow. So I love that. So you make it really accessible for people to be uplifted without having to do a ton of work or a ton of reading.
Right. And you don't have to have any fixed belief system. I mean, you know, if you're a Buddhist, great. If you're a devout Christian, great. Mm-hmm. If, you know, you're an agnostic, great. Mm-hmm. If you're an atheist, great. You don't have to have any specific belief. And of course, you know, if one morning you get a vibe that you don't resonate with, don't listen to it. But, you know, we're not trying to push anything on anyone. Sure. We're just trying to help raise the awareness in a simple, easy way. And it's our belief and my commitment to the vibe really has nothing that, you know, I don't even know. I think they gave me some small, you know, 1% or something mm-hmm. you know, for participating and bringing people. But I didn't even ask because I would have done it, you know, mm-hmm. anyway, because I really feel that the role of media today and those who are aware is to help raise the awareness of as many people on this planet as possible. On our website, you know, we say, you know, Waterside Productions exists to help authors and publishers create a better world. And I think the vibe is making a big contribution to mm-hmm. that. So I'm just a big fan for what they're trying to achieve.
And do you feel like it's more important now, more than ever, to kind of have that positive message out?
I think it really is. I mean, we have so much going on, and it's so easy to get into a negative spiral. And you know, instead of being in a negative spiral, let's try to create a positive spiral where you something positive bounces into something else positive, into something else positive, because that's the way energy moves. It can move up, it can move down. And I think that we all benefit when it moves up. You know, it's not selfless to want to help others, because you're helping yourself every time you help someone else. So, you know, it's a good thing to do, and it's not taking away. It's like love. You know, the more you love, the more love there is in the universe. Mm. No one suffers because someone is loving. Mm. So, you know, I think we need to focus on that more than ever, because when negative things happen to us, it is very easy to get down, not just on ourselves, but on, you know, mm-hmm. our society, our community, our leaders. You know, there's a lot of mistakes being made by a lot of people, and there's a lot of controversy about, you know, issues that, you know, are very complex, and it's not, you know, it would be nice to say, oh, I know right and wrong and everything's black and white, but it's not. Mm-hmm. So when we can find something as simple as, you know, being kind, being good, helping others, that we know is good, and we can be unambiguous about it. So, you know, I really encourage people to, you know, whether they subscribe to the vibe or not, I hope they do, but, you know, to really focus on what is positive in their life and share that and build on that.
That's wonderful. And in your list of all the negative things going on, you forgot to mention the volatile stock market. Haha.
Deborah follows up.
That's the least of our worries. I mean, if you've been into stocks for the last 2 years, you've had a pretty good ride. So, you know,
except
I wouldn't worry too much about a few weeks of turbulence. But, you know, I have authors who, I mean, I got a proposal just the other day from one of my top authors, Tom Hartman. He wrote a book 4 years ago, The Crash of 2015. Didn't happen, but now he says, it's time. I was just off on the timing. The crash is coming. The crash is, he may be right this time.
Yeah.
You know, don't put all your eggs in the economic belief that, you know, good times are, you know, going to just continue indefinitely. Never have. There's always been, you know, there's cycles, and,
correct,
you know, things
yeah,
go up, things go down. We have good economic periods. We have bad economic periods. And, you know, we're certainly going to have some more bad economic periods before, you know, time runs out. So, you know, be prepared.
Whoever wrote the song "What Comes Up Must Come Down," spinning wheels, got to go
out.
Yes,
they had that down. Yeah. So, how is the vibe actually different from other mindfulness apps out there?
Well, because it's multi-authored is one of them. I mean, there may be some others. I hesitate because I don't know about all of the other, you know, positive, and I'm not against any of the other positive. So I think the vibe is unique in that it has so many different voices, so many different angles, if you will. It's not, oh, we're teaching, you know, the principles of Buddhism, and, you know, if you're, and I'm sure there's a site out there doing that and doing it well, or someone else is teaching, you know, basic meditation techniques, and, you know, that's good, but you're going to be limited. You know, it's going to be 365 days of sort of the same message over and over, whereas with the vibe, every day is going to be a totally different message. In most instances, it's going to be, you know, there'll probably be 20 or 30 different authors that you're going to be tuning into over that time, and so you're going to get a variety, and I think that's what makes it unique.
I have a question for you personally. Is, were you always into this spiritual realm, or did it kind of...
Absolutely not.
I want to hear your journey.
Yes,
I'm very
please.
Curious.
Well, we're going to be taking away a lot from the vibe, but it's a long story. I was raised in Westchester County, in, you know, outside of New York City.
Uh-huh.
My father is a book publisher, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom who was a frustrated novelist. She always wanted to be a novelist, but, you know, raising kids and everything else, that never really happened for her. I wasn't really raised in any religious tradition. My parents were Jewish, you know, but I never even was bar mitzvah, so I didn't have any real religious foundation. The school I went to a private school, and we went to chapel once a week, and I don't know what denomination it was, and it was really just, you know, a prayer here and there. So I didn't really have any religious affiliation growing up, and I didn't, you know, really think about anything other than, you know, getting good grades in school, having fun. You know, I love sports. And just, you know, sort of a normal kid growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I did live in Spain when I was 15 years old, so I was exposed to a lot of, you know, the Catholic Church and beautiful churches. And, you know, but even in Spain, where 90% of the country is, at that time at least, was, you know, the same religion, I noticed that, you know, it wasn't necessary to really have a religious center. In Spain in those years, it was common for the women to go to church and the men to go, you know, play soccer or do something else. It was sort of like, as long as one member of the family was participating in the church, that took care of the family. So, you know, those experiences I share because, you know, you could almost say it was almost a cynical way of looking at religion. And I was a very free thinker, and I, you know, the first religion that actually made sense to me was Baha'i when I guess junior or senior in high school, I learned about the Baha'i, and what intrigued me about the Baha'i is they were saying that all religions have truth, and, you know, you don't need to just limit yourself to one, and that actually made sense to me intellectually. So when I went on in my studies, I studied cultural anthropology at Harvard University, and I, you know, studied many different cultures and traditions and was open to the spiritual truth. And I did become interested in spiritual topics because spiritual or religious, and we have to sort of define those because it's different in different cultures. In some cases, they overlap. In some cases, particularly our culture today, it's almost there's a disconnect between those who are spiritual and those who are religious, with those who are religious not really being very spiritual in many cases. But in other cultures, there's less of a divide, and the spiritual and the religious were kind of all one. And I did learn some things, and I did become intrigued by the belief systems of what were called indigenous peoples, primitive peoples was the word used back then. And it did open my mind to the fact that we can't explain everything just with modern science. We really can't. There are things that are mysterious and that are better explained through what we would call divine or spiritual systems. And so I have been curious for the last 30 or 40 years what makes miracles, because there are miracles that happen, and what is the true nature of reality. And recently, you know, I'm very proud of we're actually a publisher as well as an agent. We published a book called An End to Upside Down Thinking by Mark Gober last week, and he's been on Coast to Coast and some other shows. He should be on your show.
Okay.
We've already sold 5,000 books in the first week because he's looking at everything from the point of view as a scientist that everything we've been taught is upside down. Because what we've been taught is that we start with matter, and then we get life, and then we get intelligent life, and then we get consciousness. And what new evidence is indicating is that we have it all upside down. In the beginning was consciousness, and consciousness created matter, and then we get the cycle. So if you start thinking about ideas in this way, then there's really no difference between being a spiritual person and a scientific person. And for me, as a very practical person, I've created a large business. I actually added it up the other month, and our books have sold over $5 billion at retail.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, I'm part of the real world here and grounded. And yet, I'm also very aware that reality, as we have received it in our, and I went to Harvard and Yale, and, you know, I've got the best, you know, education you can have. And many of the things I was taught were based on assumptions which are probably wrong. And so this makes life actually more interesting, because we're starting to see a change in the very awareness that we have of what it is to be a human being, what is the difference between being human and being divine, and how does that interact? What is the true mystery of creation? So for me, these are topics that I actually spend a lot of time thinking about. And it's also one of the reasons I think The Vibe is such a powerful way for people who have not been thinking about these things to start thinking about them, because I think it's important that people think about more than just their survival needs, or more about, you know, whether their football team's going to win or their politician's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Those things can be important on one level, but there's a higher level of existence on which those are really kind of minutiae. I tell people, it's like when you're a little kid and you play Little League, for those who play Little League, when you're playing your game, there's nothing more important in the world. You play by the rules, there's set rules, and you put all of your effort into playing the best you can. However, when the game's over, it was just a Little League game. It really wasn't very important. It doesn't matter if you won, if you lost, you got a hit, you didn't get a hit. You go on, and now your focus changes. And it's pretty much the same. What we think of as the all that is for human beings is really, from a higher perspective, nothing more than a Little League game.
It's fascinating.
Wow, yeah. Well said.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. So tell us a little bit more about...
But, you know, you can't sort of change everything at once. So that's why I really like The Vibe, because it's not asking you to sort of take on these big questions and rethink the very nature of existence. I mean, if you're into that, great, you know, and I'm sure there's going to be, you know, particularly when they ask me to write things, I get into these kinds of topics. But everyone can benefit from raising their game, so to speak, from being more aware of what is really going on in the world, and being willing to share insights from people like Neil Donald Walsh and Barbara DeAngelis and some of the great contributors we're lining up, including what I'm focused on right now in terms of my own work, is really representing new millennials.
Yeah.
I think they have a lot to contribute, and they're not as prone to just accepting the status quo. And it reminds me very much of the generation I was part of way back in the 60s, where we used to say, we want the world and we want it now. We were fed up with sort of business as usual in the Vietnam War and a lot of the things that were going on. And we did make and institute some changes, not as many as we thought we would. But I see this current generation is hearkening back to that energy of, you know, call a spade a spade. Let's stop, you know, going through life with blindfolds.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It really seems to me, though, in almost every generation, there is a large percentage of the population that is always achieving change and mm-hmm. and new ways of thinking. And that's beautiful. That's a beautiful part about humanity, I think.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Absolutely. And it, part of it is it's human nature. You know, you look, I mean, it's wonderful. There's 7 billion plus human beings, and every single human being is different. And every single human being has the capacity to contribute to the whole.
Mm.
And in certain, you know, circumstances, you're born, you're limited, but you're never as limited as you think. You can always make a difference. Even if it's nothing more than giving someone a smile, there are things that you can do that will make a positive difference.
I love
That's so true, right? I know that in my day, when I put a smile on my face and say hi to more people than not mm-hmm. in the day, I feel so much better, and it always sort of seems to surprise some people. And like, oh, they go, hi, well, hi back. like somebody said hello in the elevator instead of looking at their phone.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You know what I love doing is when I used to be on the East Coast and I'd go through the toll booths, I'd always pay for the person behind me.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh. That, you know, and not, you know, just.
That's so nice. It might be dangerous.
But it's like, you know, it wasn't to see their reaction, or it was just to literally just put good vibes out, good vibes out there. And hopefully what my hope is that they then say, oh, well, you know what? I'll pay for the person behind me.
Exactly.
You know,
that would be paying it backwards instead of forward, right?
Exactly. Exactly right.
Pay it behind me.
Right.
I love that. That is so cool.
Yeah. But they don't have many toll booths around in California. So
no, now they're all like...
yes, those electronic things.
Right. You don't even say hello to anybody.
All right. So I'll have to go to pay for somebody's Starbucks or something. So that'll be my new random act
Very
of kindness.
Sweet. I'm going to pick that up. Yeah. I like that. That is so adorable. Funny. You never told me that.
Really?
All the years that
that's
I...
That's so funny.
Yeah, that's a good story.
Oh,
You've
cute.
Been withholding, bitch. I love you.
So, Bill, I want to know who your, like, how you chose these leaders for the app.
Well, I wanted diversity. For example, Ken Foster has a great radio show of his own, and he's really focused on money and manifestation, so and building a career. So we wanted, you know, because that's very important to people. Like you were saying, don't forget the stock market. I personally am likely to forget the stock market, but Ken won't. Mm-hmm. So we need somebody representing that. We have people from the science of the mind, people from Agape. I'm good friends with Michael Bernard Beckwith. He may end up choosing to participate as well personally, but even if not, you know, what Agape has brought together in terms of ideas and creativity, you know, we wanted people from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the authors that I represent is Layla Love. She's an artist, and she's just written a new book called She of God. So we wanted someone with the feminine perspective on change. And Layla, in addition to being a gifted artist, has become one of the leading spokeswomen for anti-sex trafficking. And so I thought that was an important topic to have covered. And then we have some other people that are less well known that we're still developing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we really, you know, some of them are, as I said, they're millennials. And so we wanted youth.
Right.
And, you know, we wanted a broad spectrum. So that was really what went behind the thinking of the people. And I'm continuing to recommend new people. It's, you know, the vibe is new. It's only been up for a few months. So we'll be adding to it.
So I'm actually currently like posting on our Instagram and Facebook. Can you tell us, like, do you have Instagram for the vibe, or where can people find out more about it? And we'll talk about this at the end too, but I'm literally like putting a post. I'm like, you know what? Let's, while we're talking about it.
Okay. Well, you know, this is where I told them I'm not a great spokesperson because I'm not like into the details. Like I hope that they sent you the website and all the Instagram and all like that. Cause I know that the website is, you know, www.vibe.me,
okay.
But I don't know, like when you start asking me about Instagram, and I don't even know, does the Vibe have an Instagram account? I don't know how that
Well, that's
works.
Good. The website's good enough because people will find it, you know, just to have it on.
So you just need the website. I mean, I'm confident
fine.
At that level. But one of the funny things about me is even though I actually represented, you know, the originators of the DOS for Dummies and all the technical books. I represented Peter Norton, Linus Torvalds, half the people that, you know, were the first employees at Google and Yahoo and Apple. I'm actually not technical at all myself. So I get, right. I get a little flushed when people say, what's this link? What's that link? You know, I'm not the guy.
I'm right there with you, Bill. I was trying to get my contacts into constant contact today. And of course, I couldn't use the app. I couldn't do anything. It's like, you don't have what it takes to do this. It's like, screw you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, some people now are applauding me for this, but I was never embarrassed, but I should have been. I still have a flip phone. My wife does have our smartphone.
No way.
You know, you actually do need a lot of the apps that are on it because it's great. But for my own world, mm-hmm. Even though I was one of the very first people in America to have a cell phone, I mean, way back, it was like $2,000 and, you know, as right. big as the one that Gordon Gekko had in Wall Street.
Yeah.
So I wasn't averse to the new technology, but by the time the smartphone started to come out, I was already getting 200 emails a day.
Oh my God.
And I just decided I did not want any more distractions and I did not want to be available 24/7. So I'm actually almost, you know, going backwards in terms of the technology, but you know, I do appreciate that. And particularly for, you know, anyone under 40, it's like they grew up with all this. So,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm. well, so
they can do it and they can, I mean, my kids, I mean, this whole texting, I mean, like, I just go crazy. I'm like, no, just send me an email. I don't, you know, because if I'm at the age where I need to put on glasses to read my text. So I say, you know, you send me
sure.
a text, I'm not going to read it.
I was going to say, you probably truly do live by the 3-word answer for a text message because it takes forever to text on a flip phone.
Oh, my God. That would.
Oh, I don't text.
Okay.
I can't even imagine. I remember because that was like one of my first things was the flip phone, and you had to like A, B, B, like it was
right.
just
yeah,
like...
yeah, no, no. I tell people, no, you send me an email. If I'm in the office, I'll look at it, you
yeah.
know, and when I'm in the office, I'm very good about that. But no, once I leave the office, I'm gone. I'm not working and mm-hmm. don't text me. You know
what? I think you make
in fact, you can't even leave me a phone message. I disabled that too. I didn't want to have messages to
read. I think that's actually really smart because I don't think we have enough boundaries around, you know, emails and texts. And I think there's this assumption that you have to get back to the person right away. And there is no mm-hmm. sort of like separation of, okay, I'm done. I'm going to be, you know, it's my time now. It's very difficult. So I like
it. Yeah, no, I think boundaries are very important. Of course, this is probably not good promotion for the Vibe because anyone who's got a flip phone is
right.
not the best candidate
right.
to be
yeah, exactly.
Vibe. But you know, since I represent less than 2% of the population, I think that's okay.
Yeah. yeah, I don't know anybody who has a flip phone.
Wait, I still have, we call it the bat phone. We have a
spare. Well, who uses one? People may have them as antiques.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we have a live one that we still have as a very, very emergency number, just the children. Have access uh-huh. to that phone number,
oh.
and we keep that on when
you
take.
But since we are talking about, you know, 99% of the population that does have, you know, smartphones, mm-hmm. Yeah, the app is the Vibe is a great app, and you know, you right. should all have it.
Well, I can't imagine any millennial not having a phone. Like, I mean, yeah, that's insane. That would be like madness.
Yeah.
Well, they get them now, like at 8 years old, right? Does your older
no.
son already have a
no,
cell phone?
No, but he's asked. But I said 12. I think 12 feels about right. So we have a couple more years. Because I feel like once you have it, like that's it. You know,
there's no turning back.
No, I mean, and what does he need it for? He's not gonna. I mean, he wants to play games. That's what he wants it for.
Right.
It's not even like to call me. It's not even like, well, Mom, what if I need you? It's more like I want to
play
Smashy Road. You know, like or whatever he wants to play on the phone. So yeah. Super fascinating.
Yeah, no. Well, I now have grandchildren. My 4-year-old is, you know, so proficient with his little smartphone. He doesn't have his own yet, but
uh-huh.
you know, he knows where all the games are.
So you know, crazy.
He can whiz through that phone faster
you know,
than you can believe.
It's amazing. Like, I mean, to think that like our kids don't even know what like a newspaper is. You know, that's
oh,
amazing
I know.
To me.
It is
yeah.
funny. Sometimes when I use metaphors in practice with people, I'm like. I don't think you're going to get this one.
No, exactly. Right. Like,
and then yeah. it shocks me. Some of the young people, they get it because I guess they have, you know, their close families
yeah.
and they have relatives who say these things. So they get them. I
well, it's so funny.
Great.
Yesterday, I love the site Post Secret. So it's where people mail in secrets to this guy who started this whole thing to kind of, you know, basically make things less shameful. And it's this huge project that's been going on for years. And so he posts the secrets. And there was one yesterday. It said, a millennial asked me yesterday, is Dave short for David? He's like, we're fucked. Like, it was so, it was really funny. And it was like, oh my God, is that what it's coming to? It was just very funny.
That is funny. So Bill, tell us, are there any guided meditations on the vibe?
Yes, there are guided meditations. I mean, that's the thing when I was saying earlier, it is really diverse. I mean, there's guided meditations, there's relationship advice, there's professional advice. I mean, but all done in very short sound bites, if you will. Mm-hmm. And with variety, they are all from people who have been very successful in whatever they're teaching. If it's meditation, you know, these are the best of the best. If it's, you know, relationships, the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Finance, the best of the best. So, yes, you almost any topic that you could be interested in, you're going to find some good wisdom in it.
Mm. I love it.
Me too.
Can we go off topic here? I'm dying to know what the Golden Motorcycle Gang is about, the book.
Okay.
We go all over the place.
Think? Well, it's based on an experience that Jack Canfield had. Jack and I are good friends. He's the author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books.
Right.
And Jack was actually at an event with another one of my clients, Gene Houston. This was, you know, before I knew either of them. They were both very young. And Gene was taking Jack through guided meditation. And in the guided meditation, Jack had a vision that he was on a golden motorcycle flying through space, mm-hmm, with 20 or 30 other angelic beings. And he looked down and he saw a blue planet in distress, and he thought to himself, that planet needs some help. Let's go, guys, see if we can help. And so that was the vision he had, and he went out about 10 years later after he became successful, and he bought 100 little golden motorcycles. I actually have, mm-hmm, one on my desk because he, wow, very graciously gave one to me. And he gave these to people that he thought were part of the Golden Motorcycle Gang of his vision that were here to help others on this planet.
Oh,
I love
so
it.
So that's kind of what the Golden Motorcycle Gang is.
See? Oh, my God.
Aren't you glad I asked now?
Yes, I actually am. I love that. Was that a dream or a vision that he had?
Well, it was a dream state. I mean, I don't know how old Jack was, but he was probably in his early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the first times he was, you know, guided in a meditation exercise. So I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly what was, mm-hmm, the preceding message before that vision came to him.
Yeah.
But he was awake. It was not a sleep dream.
Right.
But, you know, the reason I hesitate is, you know, it had dreamlike qualities. It wasn't an ordinary meditation experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And I'm convinced, and it's funny, Jack told me this story about 20 years ago over dinner, and I said, you know, that'd make a great book. We should do a book on that.
Oh.
And he was so busy with things. He says, oh, I don't have time.
Right.
So about 10 years later after that,
uh-huh,
I called him up and said, Jack, I've got a publisher, you know, because that's what I do. I'm an agent, who wants to do a children's book based on the story.
Mm.
And he said, well, that's okay, as long as you'll write it. I said, okay, I'll write it. So I wrote the children's book. But then I went to the publisher, and the publisher said, this doesn't really work as a children's book, but we'd love to do it as an adult book.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, that's a lot more work. And they said, that's okay, we'll give you a good advance. And I said, okay. So I called Jack back, and the publisher was Hay House, and so, mm-hmm, we ended up, you know, collaborating. I did most of the heavy lifting, but it was all Jack's ideas. And the book is really, more than anything, Jack's autobiography with me as, you know, co-author.
Wow.
Oh, that's a beautiful story. Thanks for sharing.
Mm. So fascinating.
So what brought
but
you...
But it was really my enthusiasm for the story, because for me, and I think a little bit for Jack, though he probably, if he were on the phone, would say, no, Bill, you're overstating it. But I think that it was a real experience. Maybe it's in another dimension, you know, another,
yeah,
version of reality. But I think that it actually was a real event, that, you know, there's a level of Jack's higher self, or whatever we want to call it, that was out there in space and that came here to help. And,
mm-hmm,
I think that a lot of us are in that category. I think, you know, it's not just, you know, the people that we happen to bump into. So it's not an exclusive club. There's, you know, I think there's millions of people who, if you believe in reincarnation, you know, basically have shown up at this time to try to help our planet move to the next level, because obviously we need help.
We do.
I'm kind of curious, too, a little bit more about your story. What drew you to being a literary agent as opposed to some other component of the literary world, publishing or editing or you also?
Well, I've done everything. So
sounds like
it's just being pragmatic. I mean, my story is quite unusual. I mean, I was born into a publishing family. My father founded a publishing company in 1936. So I was literally conceived to run a publishing company. And I worked starting at the age of six in my father's company, and I was offered to be editor-in-chief of his main competitor when I was still in my early 20s. Mm. And, you know, you don't necessarily want to do what is presented to you. So I, you know, for a while, you know, taught Spanish literature. I got a scholarship to study anthropology at Harvard. I went to Brazil, and, you know, I really wanted to do something more exotic. And almost accidentally, I ended up making films. I was asked to be the researcher and then the production coordinator for Rod Serling's In Search of Ancient Mysteries. So I was flown all over the world when I was very young. I was right out of Yale, even before I went to Harvard. And my job description was, William Gladstone is hired to search for ancient mysteries anywhere in the world it may take him. That was my job.
Wow.
So that really, you know, started me on a wonderful journey. And I was offered associate producer of the In Search of Ancient Mysteries television series, but I turned it down because I had made a commitment to teach Spanish at one-tenth the salary. But, you know, I'd given my word, and that was that. After I completed that assignment, I was offered an even bigger job in Hollywood. But the second week I was there, I was told that now you're an associate producer, and this was for a major feature film, and the writer has writer block, and we want you to help him get some cocaine because he thinks that's going to free him up. And I said, you got the wrong guy. I don't do that. Thank you very much. And I left, and I went back and started writing novels, which I'm also a novelist, and trying to decide, you know, do I want to be in film? Do I want to be in publishing? And, you know, as John Lennon says in his wonderful song, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. And I bumped into a friend of mine who I'd gone to school with who happened to be Peter Yovanovitch, who's father was running Harcourt Brace Yovanovitch, and they had just bought SeaWorld here in San Diego, and they needed someone to run their San Diego office. And they wanted someone, as Peter said at the time, who knew books and was entrepreneurial. And I knew books and was entrepreneurial. So that got me, you know, editor, and I was at, I don't know whether it was editor-in-chief or senior editor, but, you know, very high-level position, still in my 20s here in San Diego area, running Harcourt Brace Yovanovitch's West Coast division. And then through a comedy of errors, I was actually fired 2 years later and didn't have any money at the time. And there was a small publisher that needed some help. So I made a deal where they couldn't pay me, but they gave me an office and an assistant. And so without any money, I was trying to create a film company. That's why my company is called Waterside Productions. I actually was producing my first film, but I didn't really have enough money to even... In those days, it was DVDs, to produce the DVDs. So some of the authors that I had been working with when I was at Harcourt called me up and said, after you left, they canceled our contracts. What do we do? And I said, oh, I know everybody in publishing. I'll get you a contract with a different publisher. So that's really what agenting is. And so I really did it just to help some people out. And then they said, well, you know, we're so grateful. How do we pay you? I said, oh, don't worry about that. I need the money. I'm going to take a full 15% commission, which is what agents take. And so I got started agenting. It was still in the beginning a sideline because I wanted to focus on the film. But then through another really accident, I was at the time good friends with Andy Kay of Nonlinear Systems, and his company became K-Pro Computers. And overnight, he went from a $2 million company to a $250 million company with circus tents housing all the computer components. And one day, I was up there doing a favor for Andy, and the head of documentation came up and said, everyone we know at Osborne and our competitors that's writing documentation is getting contracts to write books for New York publishers, and we heard that you know something about publishing. Can you help us? And so I asked Andy if it was okay, and he said, sure. And next thing you know, Waterside became the leading representative for technical authors in the world. And, you know, we ended up creating the Four Dummies book series. And,
wow.
You know, I think our technical books alone probably have sold 500 million copies over time.
Oh, God.
So, you know, things just happen. I happen to love agenting. I am doing some publishing. I actually prefer the agenting because with agenting, you get the idea, you get the enthusiasm, you make the sale, then you go away and forget about it for a year, then the book's published and you celebrate. When you publish a book, oh my gosh, what about this cover design? What about that font? Oh no, they shipped the books to the wrong place. Oh, the author's in Cleveland and the books are in Boston. What are you going to do? You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of details, and I'm less interested in the details. I like the big picture. So for me, agenting was really the perfect fit. It still is. I'm not doing as much agenting as I was. I mean, back in my heyday, I personally sold over 200, and well, it was exactly 299 books. I didn't get to the 300, but in a single year, I placed 299 titles. So
wow.
That's probably a world record because I just really was enjoying what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was unique is because the majority of those titles were technical topics, it wasn't necessary to actually read the books in order to sell them. I just was mm-hmm. able to analyze what the products were that were coming out from Apple and Microsoft and, you know, the other companies. Mm-hmm. And was able to make a business decision, well, you know, this would be a good topic. And, mm-hmm. you know, in those days, it was pretty easy. 90% of every book we ever published sold, you know, 50,000 or more copies. It was,
wow.
you know, really a wonderful, wonderful, easy experience. But then the books that we agented obviated the need for the books. All that information is now available mm-hmm. online. So I migrated really accidentally. I was doing a favor for another one of my clients. I met a man, Dr. Irvin Laszlo, who needed help with his books. And he was sort of marrying science with spirituality. So I agented his book, and that led to, you know, being known for doing those kinds of books. And next thing I know, I'm representing Eckhart Tolle and wow. Neil Donald Walsh and, you know, sort of Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, really just about everybody in this space. But that's just sort of the way my life evolved. It wasn't that I set out to do it.
Right.
Right. Well,
happened.
Bill, you have an amazing story, and we're so glad you've been able to be a guest on our show, but we are pretty much out of time. So
wow.
we won't ask you. We will tell
yeah.
our audience
yeah, exactly.
to download the app for The Vibe, which is www.vibe.me, V-I-B-E.
Mm-hmm. B as in boy.
Vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
Vibe. Yes. And amazing. So thank you so much.
Thank you
much
so much. What a fascinating story.
Your...
And yeah, it's wonderful what you're.
Well, I always enjoy being on your show. And I do, you know, can't tell people, you know, The Vibe is really one of the coolest hats I'm aware of. And I just love the people that, you know, are participating in it. And I know, you know, 90% of the people that will participate are going to have their lives improved just from this very mm-hmm. inexpensive little app that every day is going to bring them some great information.
Thank you
awesome.
So much.
Yay.
We really appreciate having you on.
Okay. You guys have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Next week, we have The Emotionally Healthy Child by Maureen Healy.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope you all have a good week. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at @2Shrinks, Facebook, Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show. Our website is docandtherapist.com. And you can always send us an email at docandtherapist@gmail.com. Have a beautiful week.
Thanks so much.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.